Wisp Sports Radio, the voice of women in sport.
Thank you for downloading Tucker Center Talks. This is Season 2, Episode 6. You're listening to Tucker Center Talks, a podcast from the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport at the University of Minnesota, and a co-production with WISP Sports. I'm your host for Tucker Center Talks, Dr. Nicole Lavoie, director of the Tucker Center. In this podcast, I'm going to provide you a more in-depth overview of some of the key findings of our Women in College Coaching report card. Last week, I talked to our doctoral student in the Tucker Center, Courtney Boucher, about her involvement with the report card and some of the work that she's done on hiring trends of ADs related to the report card. You might think that continuing to talk about women in coaching is perhaps callous, not important, given the current global crisis that has impacted all of us personally and professionally. However, I and others believe that we must keep issues of gender equity and equality on the burner, so the flame does not go out. It's also important to keep talking about girls and women globally, not just in sport, because girls and women are being disproportionately and negatively affected by COVID-19 in many ways. A majority of them are the frontline healthcare workers, and a majority of them are juggling domestic labor in the household. A greater percentage of the women are in service-related jobs that have been let go or furloughed as a result of businesses having to shut down to enforce social distancing. These women are also paid less than men, despite being at increased risk during this coronavirus pandemic. Domestic violence has also risen across the globe. And all of these situations are exacerbated for girls and women of color. So talking about issues related to girls and women is important. Perhaps maybe more important today. And in sport, while we're on pause for all of us, we'll see if the data for women coaches, women's teams, and women's leagues, if the women are negatively and disproportionately affected. Time will tell. But in the meantime, it's important to keep the momentum alive that we were enjoying, perhaps unprecedentedly, before this pandemic hit. The momentum for achieving and sustaining gender equality and gender equity in sport was moving forward. So my intention to talk about the Women in College Coaching report card data is a small part to keep that conversation alive. You can find all our reports and our Game On Women Can Coach toolkit on the Tucker Center website at tuckercenter.org. So if you're listening, you can type in the URL and pull up the reports and follow along. So here's some key findings, because there's a lot of data in these report cards. We've been doing this for 8 years, and the data set is rich. But I just want to share a few key findings for you. First, for the 7th year in a row, the percentage of women coaching women's teams as head coaches has gone up. Currently, we're at about 42.3%. So that's the good news. It's going in the right direction. It's not going up fast, but it's not going in reverse. So I think that's a bit of a bright spot. For conferences at the Division I level, and we do have data for all divisions, but I'm just going to give you data on our Division I report cards right now because that's the data we have longitudinally. So for conferences, the Division I conference that leads the industry is the Ivy League at 53.1% of head coaches being women. The Big Ten leads the Power Five at 49.5%. Another interesting fact is the percentage of coaches, head coaches of women's teams that turn over from year to year. In 2019-20, 102 out of 970 head coaches of women's teams turned over. That's about 10.5%. And we know over the last 8 years, that's about average. It's ranged from 7 to 12% over the last 8 years. So the amount of turnover is not really high, but there is opportunity out there. The perhaps half empty perspective is that out of those 102 vacant positions, over half of them, 55 or 44%, a male was hired. So we're still missing a lot of opportunity to fill those vacated positions, whether the coach was fired, left for another position, or retired, or the program, you know, was in transition. Men are still being hired a majority of the time. In terms of sports, field hockey leads the pack. They have the highest percentage of women coaching women, followed by lacrosse, golf, softball, and equestrian. Those sports get A's. The B sports are basketball and gymnastics. Now, if you want to look up the F sports, you can. And there are more F sports than A sports. But I'll leave that as a teaser. So if you want to go on tuckercenter.org and look at the sports, you can see which ones get Fs. In terms of institutions, this year again, at least for the Select Seven, which is the Power Five conferences plus the American and the Big East, we have four A's. Cincinnati leads the way at 80%, followed by University of Central Florida, University of Washington, and University of Oklahoma. We did have one school this year out of 86 in the Select Seven sample with 0% of women head coaches coaching women's teams. Again, you can look it up, but we did have one. What's unfortunate with this is that there are double the number of schools that get Fs than get A's. So we have some work to do. What we also know from the data, and this is a question I would get quite a bit, is, well, do women have an advantage of holding head coaching positions at their alma mater? Now, intuitively, you might think they would because they're known, they have a lot of athletic and social capital, they were probably a star athlete at that school, they know the system, they know how to recruit, they're familiar with the program, it provides program continuity. So what we did was look at the rate at which women and men coached at their alma maters. And what we found is it's nearly exactly the same. 14.5% of women and 14.3% of men coach at their alma mater. Now, what's always surprising to me about this stat is that while men are alums of the institution they're coaching at, they didn't play on the women's teams they're coaching. Just let that sink in. So, being an alum of an institution does not give you an advantage. We also looked at when we code the coaches, we go on the institutional websites and we look at the head coach's online biography. And there's great information in those biographies. And in many of those biographies, at the very bottom is usually a family narrative. And in season 1, episode 3, I talked to Dr. Austin Sterrell Calhoun about our research around online coaching biographies and family narratives, and how heterosexual family narratives are privileged over same-sex narratives in online coaching bios. And what we found in this latest data collection is that out of about 3,500 head coaches, only 18 coaches had an explicitly same-sex family narrative. And currently, one of my graduate students, Sophie Glassford, and I have been interviewing these 18 coaches and asking them about the process and the decision-making around why they decided to put their same-sex partners in their online coaching bios. So that study will be published soon. Okay, in terms of composition of coaching staffs, this just came up recently on Twitter. Someone was asking the question, how many Division I women's basketball teams had an all-female coaching staff? We actually have that data. 52, to be exact. And if you want, that data is available in our 2018-19 report card. What I also find interesting with this data is that out of all the teams that are coached by women, okay, so 42% of all the teams are coached by women. So about 1,500 teams are coached by women. 1/3 of those teams of all sports have an all-female staff. 1/3 of all teams with a female head coach have an all-female staff. That is a really interesting statistic. Now, on the flip side, 480 teams have all-male staff. Can you imagine if there were 480 teams on the men's side that had all-female staff and all-female coaching staff? That would just be unheard of. But on the women's side, we really don't think twice about having a coaching staff of all men. And in fact, the sports where this is most common are swimming and diving and track and field. And what's even more eyebrow-raising for this is that swimming and diving and track and field have some of the largest coaching staffs. They typically have 5 to 6 coaches on their staff, indicating numerous opportunities to hire women. But yet nearly 1/5 of those coaching staffs are all men. It's really shocking. If you go on some of these websites and the programs and you see pictures of an all-male coaching staff, you'll begin to see the pattern. Okay, so I just wanted to give you some big picture snapshots of our data in the latest report card. I do want to end with a caveat. We know that our grade of an institution, of a sport, and of a conference is one indicator of a workplace climate for women. Having an A grade doesn't necessarily mean it's a great place for women to work, and having a D or an F doesn't necessarily mean it's not a positive place for women to work. We are well aware that our grade is just one indicator. We also are well aware that hiring and recruiting and retaining a diverse workforce is complicated. There are many factors that go into that. And we know that oftentimes when women coaches are offered jobs, they decline the opportunities for their own personal reasons. So as we think about women in the workforce and how women are being impacted in every workforce around the globe right now, for those of us who deeply care about women in sport leadership, it's important that we have the data so we can track progress and decline over time, including in a time of pandemic. Because the data tells the story.
I'm Megan Kahn, host of the We Coach podcast. Every 2 weeks, I chat with female coaches, administrators, or industry experts from a variety of sports across the country. Be sure to tune in every other Thursday on your favorite podcast player for inspiring conversations. I'll see you there.
I'd really love to hear from you about this issue or if you have questions about this data. We're always learning and we're always generating new research questions based upon the feedback that we get from you. So if you have a question, tweet us at Tucker Center or to me directly at Dr. Sports Psych. Check out our report cards at tuckercenter.org and follow us on Facebook or Instagram. You can find the show notes with the links and the resources for this episode at WISC Sports and look for the Tucker Center Talks Listen tab, where you'll find a lot more conversations from the world of women's sport. Thank you for listening and helping us turn up the volume on women's sport. That's a wrap for episode 6 of Tucker Center Talks. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. I'm your host, Dr. Nicole Lavoie, signing off to make a difference in the lives of girls and women in sport.